So I know you're in for the treat, and we don't know what direction D is coming from, but we know where the essence of it, the essence is what? Our gospel, our contract, the gospel of the grace of God. So without any further ado, just put your spiritual hands on, relax, because we're in for a treat. At this time, Deacon Howard Gavin is going to come forward now and present, as he presents this today, in honor of the pastor's birthday, amen, the gospel of the grace of God. Deacon Howard Gavin.
Let's say amen again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ella has already began my message of some sort, so really in the song. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Now, dear and blessed Lord, our God and Father, again, we thank you, Lord God, for your goodness, grace, and assembling us all here, Lord. And we thank you for the enablement, Lord, to approach your precious word today. We thank you, Lord God, for the receiving reception of it, the one that speaketh, your servant, Lord, and those that receive, even me. Now, bless, Lord, we pray these in our immediate presence, and the people of God abroad to whom this word, this message of grace, this truth that is ours in this day of grace. We pray, God, you bless them in enlightenment and comprehension, Lord. May our hearts be made glad, and the rejoicing and the worship and the praise continue to thy eternal glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As was mentioned, our visitor there is, I was just wondering, my God, that's my wife's 30-plus year friend, best friend sitting back there. Amen. Amen. And I know she comes to some of the women's fellowships, but I was really surprised to see her here today. I didn't even tell anyone in the house I was ministering today. Amen. But it was decreed, right?
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And as a context, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. I believe Ella Liverman is our designated reader. And I will give you the subject matter of the content of this context or this text after we read God's Word. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Ella Liverman, you may read from the King James Version.
Romans chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
beginning with the first verse.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, being justified by faith,
yes.
we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
From the outset, I cannot let that go since we're not reading from the interlinear Greek text, and all the time, even the writer of the interlinear Greek text does not pick up the grammar that is designated to the sayings in our gospel. Therefore, being justified, the King James said, that is really, therefore, having been justified, we have peace with God. So I say unto you, on the basis and the authority of the Scriptures, which is the Word of God, the grace covenant, which is our covenant, and the grace gospel, which is our gospel, in this, the grace dispensation, we are in good shape. We have already been justified or declared righteous. It's a done deal, as everything else in existence or in creation, it has already been done. Through a saying, as we have in Hebrews 11 and 3. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
For with the saying of God, all things were created so that the things being seen do not come out of the seeing, but they come out of God speaking them into existence. Yes. He spoke everything, the visible and the invisible, into existence by a, not some sayings. Genesis is manifestation.
Yes, right.
But our gospel, the more mature gospel that gives a more extensive knowledge of the Lord's eternal workings, God spoke everything into existence through a saying. One saying. Everything came into existence by our Creator, who is God, who also is our Father. Therefore, being justified, or having been justified by faith, or faithfulness.
Amen.
Since the justification was in eternity, it was before we could exercise our faith. It was before we could exercise, as many teach and proclaim today, we have to exercise our faith and be saved. No, 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 no. The justification, or the declaring righteous, was in the eternal realm. And so the faithfulness of Christ is what gave basis for that justification,
yes,
his sacrifice. So by the faithfulness of Christ, we have peace with God. And it says here, through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Read, Elder.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand.
All right. The having of access and the standing are all eternal acts of God. They're in the perfect indicative.
Yes.
Perfect tense is a completed action in eternity with ongoing results in time. You and I didn't get saved. We were saved. We were justified. These are God's eternal doings unto his elect. We were justified. And we have access into this this grace. We have access by faithfulness, the faithfulness of Christ.
Yes.
And therein we stand because we were decreed to stand. I'm going to bring out some terms today, and we're going to, as Pastor oftentimes say, I'm going to go slow, and if it sounds like teaching mode, then so be it. Amen. God's people need to be taught, and in the teaching, the preaching will manifest. All right. But we're going to put everything in its perspective according to the scriptures rightly divided and properly exegeted. Verse 3, Elder, read on.
Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
And not only so,
mm-hmm,
but we glory in tribulations also.
Now, that's totally contrary to the consensus of humanity and the world. You glorying in trouble? You glorying, praise Jesus, hallelujah, praise Jesus. You glorying in trouble, hallelujah. Now this is not just trouble, this is severe trouble. Being crushed, pressed, squeezed severely, whether it's economically, socially, amen, or personally, is severe squeezing, crushing, pressing. But what?
Not only so, but we also glory in tribulations,
uh-huh,
also,
uh-huh,
knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Knowing that is also an eternal act of God. It is in the perfect tense also, and the passive voice. It was decreed that some would know in manifestation, some would know, and it couldn't have been us knowing as we are manifested now in our lifetime in the flesh, because we didn't have, amen, access in this venue in the eternal decrees of God. Creation was not, when this went down, creation, not, never creating, everything is done, everything is complete.
Amen.
creation was not even spoken into existence when the Lord decreed by a saying that we would know that tribulation worketh patience. And how do we come to know? Read, Ella.
Verse 4. And patience experience.
And patience experience.
And experience hope.
Now let me tell you what patience is. I brought along some definitions because I thought they might be useful. The definition of patience. To abide under. To hold up or stay under. Endurance as to things or circumstances. They took my money. You abide under that and resign your trust and your dependence unto the Lord.
Amen.
They out to get me. You walk along in life patiently, enduring. They don't like me. We endure it patiently. The troubles. They're squeezing me financially. We endure. We abide under it. How'd all this here stuff happen to me? What I do? We abide under it. Trouble worketh patience or endurance. Read, Ella.
Verse 5.
Mm-hmm.
And hope maketh not ashamed.
Yes.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Or which was given unto us. That's an aorist tense and the passive voice. So what is this scripture saying unto us? The aorist tense is a completed action. When was it complete? It was always completed in eternity. Eternity. It's an aorist tense. You don't get the Holy Ghost. He was given. For by one spirit were we all baptized into one body. The love of God is poured abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. He was given in God's decree. He was assigned unto us in God's decree. Everything in existence in one decree, all creation and everything regarding us in the one saying of God. And the saying of God, Hebrews 11 and 3, the ages were brought into existence through a saying of God. Again, so that the things being seen, we see, do not come out of things appearing. They came out of one saying in eternity. Everything. I lost my job. Decreed. My feet hurt all the time. Decreed. Everything in existence come out of a saying of God. Otherwise, it cannot exist in the Lord's creation, which is in him.
Glory.
Jesus said unto his disciples, a sparrow don't fall to the ground without your Father. The elements that make up everything in subsistence of all solid, the existent matter that's not seen to the air, are all in the creative saying of God. Everything. Creation. The visible and the invisible. Now, Ella, go ahead and read on. I'm going to refrain from comment now because this verse 6 begins my text. We're reading the context. Verse 6 through 9 begins my text.
Mm-hmm. Verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Isn't that something? And you thought you had to be goody and right. Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
in the one decree of God, just like everything else in existence, in the one saying of God,
yes,
we were both saved and sinner in the one decree. I can prove that by going to Romans 3 and 23. Your King James Version have all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The verb have is not there. That word sin is in the aorist tense and it is in the indicative mood. The translators say if it's not in the indicative mood, it's not referring to the time of action, but the kind of action. Well, this one's in the indicative mood. All sinned by decree. We have a sin nature, God's people. Christ died for the ungodly. We have a sin nature, which was decreed unto us of God, just as our eternal positioning in the body of Christ was decreed unto us that belong to him. In the one decree. Yeah. Read on, Ella.
Verse 7. Mm-hmm. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die.
Mm-hmm.
Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die.
Mm-hmm. But what?
But God commendeth mm-hmm. his love toward us.
Listen.
In that while we were yet sinners,
mm-hmm. what happened?
Christ died for us.
For who? Us. Not them. There is the elect and the non-elect. In the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, Jacob was loved and Esau was hated. I looked the word up, folk. It don't mean love, loved less. Esau was the non-elect. The shyster, Jacob, the conniver, Jacob, was the elect of God. Let that settle. Read, Elder.
Much more. Then,
mm-hmm.
being now justified by his blood,
mm-hmm.
we shall be saved from wrath through him.
Through him. Read.
Verse 10. But if when we...
Conclusionary statement. Mm-hmm.
For if when we were enemies,
mm-hmm.
we were reconciled to God by the death of his son.
We were enemies according to wicked works in our mind. Uh-huh.
Much more.
Being reconciled.
We shall be saved by his life.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going.
Verse 11.
And not only so.
Mm-hmm.
But we also joy in God
mm-hmm.
through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
By whom we have now received the atonement.
That word is properly reconciliation. Atonement or at-one-ment is an Old Testament term. Reconciliation speaks of the believer's position of being a sinner in God's decree and yet a saint. In the one decree or in the body of Christ. All right. I want to speak to you this morning from this subject matter. Christ, the surety and security of the eternal salvation of the children of God. Once again. Christ, the surety and security of the eternal. Your salvation didn't start in the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 40s. Eternal salvation of the children of God. Surety. Surety, Christ is our surety. It means a person who takes responsibility for another's performance or lack thereof. In that while we were yet sinners,
yes.
we were lacking. We just came up a little short. Christ died for the ungodly. It is also a guarantee for the satisfaction or payment of a debt. Verse 9 will tell us what that payment was. Let me tell you. Starts with a B. It's blood. Christ's blood. Security. Security means the state of feeling safe, stable, and free from fear or anxiety. Even God's people today are torn up with anxiety. I was even experiencing a lot of it in anticipation of delivering this message today. I had to keep praying. I had to keep being called to trust in Him. Salvation. Salvation is deliverance from sin and its consequences. What did verse 9 say it? Having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Deliverance from sin and its consequences, and that did not happen by you walking a certain way. That is an eternal benefit and blessing of God unto the elect. It is preservation. You know, down south, those of us from the south in the earlier days of this, the last century, we used to preserve stuff to keep it. And what it was preserved for, to keep. Salvation is preservation. It is safety or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Well, it didn't save me from getting in this, that, and other. It's speaking of the actual or the ultimate harm or ruin or loss. Yeah. Everything that we have in our end time lifespans and physicality is gone already. All the money, all the relationships, all the substance, all that we have in physicality is already gone by God's decree.
Yes.
Have we read the book of Revelation? Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth. It's not in our gospel, but we will already have been taken out of here before that happened. And the only way we'll have need to be around in the new heaven and new earth is because our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, is there, and we are members of His body. Where He is, there we are also. But don't worry about Revelation. God knows. Don't let it scare you. We have been Antichrist. We have been saved from the wrath because of Him. I used to worry about taking the mark of the beast in my hand. I tried to read up, study up. Oh, Lord, I want to recognize the rascal when he come on the scene or when the thing. Folks, it's turning now, but we have not to worry about that. We have not been appointed unto wrath and the destruction and revelation that's coming upon this earth. We have not been appointed unto it. We will be taken out of here. The Antichrist cannot, even according to Thessalonians, he can't be revealed. So don't go around saying, I believe he's the Antichrist. I believe. He can't be revealed until we're out of here. The Holy Spirit of Jesus has taken us out of here. Listen to this. Indeed, I learned this from coming to Bible class. Indeed, the biggest hindrance of the comfort and confidence, and therefore the peace of the majority of the children of God and or the people of God, is that we do not really, truly, actually know who we are. We don't. We think that we're just pushing through, and the Lord helps us in intervals if we call on Him right. No. We belong to him. We are his. We are his right now. We were always his and never were not his. The thing is, we just didn't know it until the Holy Spirit revealed unto us. It wasn't salvation, saints. It was revelation. The Holy Spirit revealed unto us that we belong to the Lord. Ephesians 1:4. We were chosen in him before creation or the foundation of the world, being holy. That simply means being set apart as belonging unto the Lord or one of his dear ones. Being holy and without blame. The sin won't stick. Without blame. Without blame before him in love. We are first and foremost members of Christ's body. We are manifested in this as sinners from God's decree. One decree. We are sons of God. And we are sinners. But its sonship only shows up in manifestation in the depraved nature, in flesh, in physicality, when we come on the scene. It comes in manifestation. Let me, before I move further, I meant to give three entities that I want us, that will help us in the teaching, ministering of this message. There are two U's in regard to the child of God. That is us. This is the second U, or me. That is us as we are born in time, in physicality, and manifested in human flesh.
Yes.
And there is the you, or the me, the real or the actual me, you, us, eternally, spiritually, in the body of Christ, eternally. We were always there. We were manifested in the flesh. Just like our Lord Jesus took on a body for the suffering of sin, we were given bodies and a commencement in time, in physicality, for the purposes of God, for his glory, that the praise and all the troubles that have been assigned to each of us severally, differently, all the problems, all the suffering, it's all to God's glory. But it don't stick. It ends here. Next will be actualization. We must understand actualization from manifestation.
Yes.
Actualization is in God's decree, wherein everything, the visible and the invisible, came into existence through a saying. Manifestation is in the creation of God of time and the world and physicality for the manifestation or showing to all creation, all creational entities, human and that which is not human, animate and inanimate, the showing of what God has done.
Yes.
His mighty works. His mighty work. Actualization is in eternality. Manifestation is in the created stage, if you will, of time where manifestation or seeing or experiencing what God has decreed shows up. And next, we have to differentiate our state from our standing. Back to the definitions. Our state, the child of God got to know these things for our mental, not for our salvation, but for our mental well-being, a sense of security as we are passing through. Don't you know that sufferings are assigned unto us? it has been given on behalf of Christ. Philippians 1:29, not only the believing in him, it has been given on behalf of Christ, given to us. Not only the believing in him, but the suffering also for his sake. Our sufferings are for his glory. Pray. Didn't he suffer for us? Glory to Jesus. There's great difference in our state and our standing. Child of God ought to know this. State is the particular condition that someone or something is in at a specific time in the created entity of time. We go through many things. It's all according to God. It's of him. It's according to his will, whatever it is. That's why we have a course. A course. Dear friends, we are going to follow our course. Yes. So it behooves us. Say, Lord, help me. Help me through this. Cause me to trust you through this. Whatever it is, politically, socially, personally, neighbors, and the like. The particular condition that someone or something is in at a specific time, and you know and I know that it varies day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. I went to the doctor and had my physical back in early February. And I was given some medicine to help with the prostate. After the physical, my knee swelled up. Not, Lord, what is this? Yes, I wondered how the process, it came. But, Lord, what is this for?
Amen.
What is this for? It couldn't have happened except the Lord had decreed it. Everything. Everything. In our bodies.
Yeah.
In our neighborhoods. In our cities. Everything is decreed of God.
Yes.
Standing is quite another thing. Our standing is our position or status remaining in force or use, and it's permanent. So our state changes from day to day. How we think, how we view things, the things that come upon us influencing our thinking, our assessment. But one thing should influence our assessment of all things, and that is God's word rightly divided. The mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, our covenant, the grace covenant, and this, the grace dispensation. That's what should influence our mind far and above everything else. Not the Old Testament, the law. It's truth, and it's God's word. Not the kingdom gospel and the book of Revelation and James and the general epistles, they call them. James, Jude, and Peter, and the like. It's truth, but it's not our directives. Our directives are in the grace covenant. That volume of truth, the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, the body of Christ, that's our directives. We go into other parts of the Bible for corroboration, confirmation, and so the like, because it is God's truth, but it's God's truth to another of his elect in a different dispensation of his dealing with his beloved. And he deals with us in our covenant, according to our covenant, the grace covenant. So our standing is irregardless of our state. How we fare. Certainly we'd like to fare better by trusting the Lord even the more, and we do that, or calls to do that, through knowledge of the Holy Spirit according to our gospel. But our standing is unaffected ever in anything. It's our position, our status. It is that which remains in force or use, and is permanent. Our state changes from particular circumstance to particular circumstance. But our standing is secure. Reading again, And if any of us don't really know who we are, you can be sure that those that are such likewise probably don't know also from whence they are or we are. Most of us think that our beginning is in time and this family, this mother, that father. No, 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 no. Our beginning, our origination is eternal, spiritual first, and we are manifested, given bodies in manifestation for God's purpose in testimony, because this is what he wanted in time. It's simply for testimony. We are taken through the trials and the troubles of life to trust him. That when our consciences are manifested back where we always were and have never left spirituality, the praise would be greater. Woo! Hallelujah. Instead of us never going through anything and, privileged kid, body member, But the trials and the tribulation are assessed unto us that the praise of God and his precious glory is magnified the more. We all going to have something to praise him about. Mother, we going to praise him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So therefore, it is little wonder that if every child does not have, not having been taught from the grace covenant scriptures in this dispensation, not the law, not the kingdom, not human government, not the promise on Abraham, human government on the Noah, and innocence and conscience on Adam, but the grace covenant scriptures called the mystery that was revealed to the Apostle Paul by his admission for the grace church, which is Christ's body. Spiritual body. Our truth, our gospel, the mystery writings that were revealed to the Apostle Paul for the grace church, I just said ahead of myself, in the grace dispensation. Just to give you a little example about dispensation, we are right now in Washington, D.C. in the Obama administration or dispensation or economy. In Michigan, we are under the Snyder administration or dispensation or economy. They change. Praise God. But ours is the grace dispensation. It don't revert to law and then to kingdom. Our truth don't go back and forth from Genesis and all the way to Revelation. If there are things to corroborate that agree with our gospel, our truth in the mystery, we grab them and bring them in for confirmation. But our directives were given to the Apostle Paul for us by revelation, the mystery.
Glory to God.
How can they have and feel a sense of security, the child of God, and safety or being safe, and stability or being stable, or freedom from fear and anxiety, if the child of God don't truly know who they actually are? Actually, really, actual, that which is real. If someone came to you, and I say this in Sunday school, and they are conversing with you, and they say blah, 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 and then they say, but actually, your ears perk up. You are looking for the real deal to come forth. That's what actualization is, that which is real, that which abides. Not that which passes away. Our position in Christ abides. Our position, our fleshly existence is over. And it varies in the time. Now, all things are of God. And all things relate or are related to God and not to us.
Yes.
Somebody say, I don't know about that. Listen. It could not show up excepting the Lord had decreed it to show up. God runs his creation, not the devil. God runs his creation, not us. If it comes upon one of his dear ones or in any segment of creation, it relates to God and what he has purposed.
Yes.
And it's there for a purpose. Our troubles, our problems, our disappointments, our shortcomings, our mess ups, our total mess ups. They are there for purpose.
Yes.
We are actually in the glorified eternal body of Christ. And all the sweeping mess ups and problems and troubles and fears and trepidations, they are for ultimate eternal glory and praise. Look where he brought me from. We'll have a testimony of praise unto God.
Yes.
For what he has wrought. All creation is in him, through him or by means of him and for him. The visible and the invisible. In fact, all things or the all was created in him. That is in Christ, referencing Colossians 1:16-17. Finally, those that belong to Christ, the elect or chosen of God in Christ, and that don't or will not know who they truly are now, where they actually abide now, and what is their eternal hope or expectation now. That was the creed of God. Also, and those that know or do know and will come to know who they are, where they actually abide, and their expectation of hope through the preaching and teaching of the truth, our truth, the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, this also was eternally decreed of God. The one not knowing or manifestation in knowledge, and the one having the knowledge manifested to them, it's all in God's decree. Be patient. They may not know now. We didn't know at one time, but it is revealed unto us in God's appointed time. Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Verse 6. Focus with me on verse 6. Indeed, Christ. Now, we could really stop right there, go have dinner, and go home as we elaborate on that. Because Christ is all. He is everything. All creation exists in him. Indeed, Christ. He is the preeminent one. We belong to him. Whatever case state we are in, we belong to him. We are members of his body first and foremost. Indeed, Christ being us, weak, helpless, sick with sin and wrongdoing, yet, according to time, speaking now of manifestation, according to time, for or on behalf of and for the sake of impious ones or ungodly ones or godless ones, speaking of us, he died. Christ didn't die for everyone. He died for those that were chosen in him, and his death was actually in eternity. Calvary was manifestation of that which was eternally done. We said before, all things, or the all, was created in him, through him, and for him. All. Indeed, Christ being us weak, every saint, don't want you calling them a sinner.
Glory.
Ain't no sinner. The word of God says different. Sick, help
worthless. We just couldn't measure up. And we still don't measure up. According to this, we will never measure up. Yet, according to time, to manifest what God had eternally decreed and done and finished and have in place, according to time, in manifestation, showing us on behalf of godless ones, ungodly ones, Christ died. Verse 7. Hardly, scarcely, with difficulty. Now this is giving a peek into the mental state and the workings of humanity. But God controls everything, and he has done and completed everything. Even though it's giving us a focus from human workings, God is the doer and the creator and the ordainer of everything, and I'll show you as we go. Hardly, scarcely, for in behalf of a just one. Mm-hmm. Now, a just also means righteous. There, according to Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. And according to Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man in all the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So what is it talking about here? Just in a relative state. That means he's good or useful. And he's honest. He's lawful more than most. He's honest more than most. He's right in most of his doing. That's what a just is speaking of. In behalf of a just, anyone will die.
Yeah.
This is an indicative future.
Uh-huh.
An indicative future is tied to God's decree. It's a future fact. It's a fact in God's decree. It just shows up in the future. But it's done, it's an entity, it's in creation, in God's decree in eternity. Anyone dying on behalf of another, that's decreed of God. It's a future fact in behalf of, for the good man. That means a man, there's none good in actuality but God. But good is relatively speaking, he's satisfactory, he's fitting, he's not obnoxious, he's sound, and he's beneficial. You know, some people you can count on, you count on the word, what they say, and so forth, and some you can't. He's good in that respect. But he is a sinner. On behalf of a good man, perhaps someone even dares to having died. Aorist infinitive. God has even decreed that to go down. In our armed services, we have had men that were decorated for exemplary acts of battle, valor and the like. Congressional Medal of Honor, Purple Heart, and all these things are given to them as an accolade. But God is the decreer of whatever goes down in humanity. Now this is talking about people dying for men that are relatively good, and them dying for guys that are somewhat just, or right in their dealings. That's what they do. That's the way humanity thinks. That no good rascal. That's pretty much the way we think. I ain't gonna give him nothing. He ain't gonna do. I'm gonna go and squander it. That's the way we think in humanity. Verse 8 commends, but commends. Now this word commends, it means to give approval to. It means to show or to prove, or I like this one, it means to demonstrate. But is a
superordinating conjunction. Up there in verse 7 is the way men operate. We help good men and die, give our life, our last for them, and just people. But, superordinating conjunction, this so trumps the thinking and the working of men. But commends God, the of himself love. Now, that word but also is a Greek construction that means on the one hand and on the other hand. And this is relating to God. But on the one hand, the of himself love. The Lord loves us.
Yes.
Even when we're unlovely.
Yes.
Even when we're obnoxious. And when we're ungrateful. And when we, even when we're unbelieving. The Lord loves us.
Yes.
On the one hand, God commends or commends the of himself love to us, the God. He commends. He demonstrates, on the one hand, his love to us.
Yes.
On the other hand, remember I said that construction also has on the one hand, on the other hand. This superordinating conjunction that so trumps verse 7 in the workings of men. On the other hand, that still, that even though, that yet, that while, still, sinners being us, we are still sinners. God commends his love on the one hand, even though we are still sinners being.
Yes.
Christ, on behalf of us, died. And his death was in eternity, where the actualization of all things were, even us being sinners, manifested when we are brought forth in flesh, and our positioning in the eternal body of Christ, where there is no sin. Spirit. Our origin is spirit first, and then we are manifested or placed. After time is created, we are placed in time for God's purpose and his testimony. And all the stuff that goes with it is for God's glory and for his praise. As we will say it now, look where he brought me from. He brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christ died for us while we are yet sinners.
Yes.
Verse 9, by much. Now this is a superlative, this word much, this adjective. By much therefore, or you could say therefore, which is another superordinating conjunction. That means what is getting ready to be said is super.
Glory.
It's a superlative. A superlative is most, at the most, highest in degree, supreme, the highest in degree. By much, therefore, more, or rather. Now, this more is a comparison. A comparison. Having been justified.
Mm-hmm.
This is an aorist tense, and it's the passive voice.
Yeah.
We were not manifested in the flesh in eternity. We were only manifested in the flesh in time. We were in the body of Christ. Spirit, our actual existence, our actual abiding in eternity. But in time, we were manifested in the flesh. But everything is in God's saying. It's not in, it don't show up or come into existence when we see it. It already is. We just haven't seen it. If we haven't seen it. Therefore, more, rather, having been justified in God's eternal decree,
We were declared righteousness. We wear the righteousness of Christ. We are enrobed in Christ's righteousness. We always were. It's just in time until we knew it, we didn't know it. That's the only difference.
Yes.
Having been justified now, justification is always and has always been, and it's the eternal act of God regarding us and concerning us and to us and covering us. Now, it's still in effect. Even while we sent us, it's still in effect. It doesn't go nowhere. God has said it. It is in God's saying. We have been justified. We have been declared as righteous.
Yes.
And here's the other part of surety. Jesus Christ, our surety, one that stands for the shortcomings of another.
Yes.
We having been justified in or by the blood of Him, we shall, His blood covers. His blood is our surety. It is the payment of the debt of sin that's owed. We shall be saved. This is an indicative future and is naturally in the passive voice. An indicative future reaches back to God's decree because it's a fact. Nothing can be into existence except God has decreed it into created existence. That's the only way it can exist. The visible and the invisible. We shall be saved in manifestation because we have been saved in actualization by God's decree. Through Him! Not just from wrath, but from the wrath. All of it. We are saved from the wrath. So next time you read Revelation, just for an exercise, or to see what it's about. It's God's word, and it's all true. Don't bite your nails. Don't shake. Don't hope I don't receive the mark of the beast. You don't have to worry about that. God's word unto us, the mystery, our covenant, not Israel's covenant, which is the law, not Noah's covenant, which was human government, not Abraham's covenant, which was promise, not the new covenant, which is Israel and those Gentiles that are joined in salvation as Israel received her salvation, but the grace covenant, our contract, says that we shall be, because we have been justified, declared righteous. We are saved from the wrath which shall surely visit this earth through Him. Be encouraged, saints of God. Christ, the surety and security of the eternal salvation of the children of God. You can't get out of Christ if you... God bless you.
Amen. Come on, get the Lord a hand. Amen. Come on.